You are listening to The Unlabeling Effect. We gather here every other week to explore all things mental health. Let us be part of your support system to inspire and motivate you to take care of your well-being. We, Vivian, Risha, and myself, Melody, welcome you to our UE community.
Let's commence on this week's episode on the arts of checking in. Welcome to the last episode of Season 5, Exploring Our Emotional Triggers. As we've always said, interpersonal relationships and conflicts are the root causes and triggers of most of our emotions. It is therefore vital to keep the right people around us and never cease learning to communicate with them along the way. Today, we're going to do a friendship check-in among us, three podcasters from UE. This is the first time we're doing this, since we usually have this kind of conversation only when there was an incident happened and we were reactive to it, right? Being friends for at least 15 years, our life trajectories have been quite different. Melody has studied in the UK for around 10 years. Vivian went to Germany for an exchange program and New York while I went to the UK for a bit and have come to Australia now. This journey has made our relationships and communication styles evolved quite a lot. Let's try to take the proactive measure to have a friendship check-in to see where we currently are in this relationship and enhance the great quality of our friendship. Without further ado, let's dive right in. I'm your host, Rita, and with me here today are Melody and Vivian. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
So, girls, what does this friendship mean to you?
It means nothing. No, I think this relationship or this friendship means a lot to me to so many extent because we saw each other growing up. Like, we honestly have turned into a very strong, independent woman, all three of us individually. And as a group, we are even stronger. Like, we've achieved so much. And I think everything that we have achieved is because we have such a healthy support system in place that we are always there for each other. We all contribute so differently to the relationship. We are all so clear of what we offer to each other and what we want from each other. You know, it's not easy to have any friendship that's like this. Very beautiful that we could have this foundation that we've built together for over, I think, more than 15 years. It's crazy. Yeah. We've transformed so much and we've seen all sides of each other, which makes the relationship stronger because we really have accepted who we are.
Yeah. Glad that you've mentioned a group. We are like a group of three. I did receive quite a lot of people asking, how can a friendship group with an odd number gonna work out? They were like, you're going to have some comparison of who is closer than whom and who gets the first phone call when things happen and stuff. Well, we did have that phase, or at least for me. I did have some jealousy when Vivian made a phone call to Melody when she had a great news to share. And when I was younger, I was like, darn, why didn't she call me first? I think my answer now is three of us have very distinctive personality and that give you different excitement and responses that fits different contexts and scenario.
Well, I have to admit that when I was like younger, I think when we first started hanging out as a trio, I had the impression that if it's a friendship group of three, there's always going to be an odd one out. But now looking back, I think it's because there was a sense of insecurity. And at this stage right now, you don't need that first phone call to make you feel that you are the most important. There's no one being the most important or the least important.
Yeah. What about Vivian?
I think you guys are not only my friends, but my mentor. And now we could become like partners and eventually maybe hopefully business partners. I think that is something that I didn't foresee. And being able to grow and evolve with each other, I think that is really rare because a lot of people do grow apart. But then the ability of us holding space for each other and that non-judgmental environment is very unique for me. And that's my favorite thing, I think. It's the non-judgmental like part.
Oh, we have a trusting environment where we would voice things up for that person's best interests. And I think that is quite rare, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I'm so glad that we are actually growing this mental health interest together, because that could make a lot of changes to our communication styles. And that makes us having the same language to talk to each other. I think that's really important, because that is where people usually grow apart in life.
I think another point that people or friendships would grow apart is when they couldn't confront someone. And forgiveness is a big one too. Mm. I remember how my poor time management, it took you guys so many years of forgiving and confrontation to really make me the person who I am now. That takes a lot of patience, and you guys don't have to do that. You know, it's not a duty of yours.
Mm. Okay, so moving forward, because all of us are having our own stuff to do or having a very busy schedule every day, how do you usually allocate time to our friendship?
We are now at a stage where we understand each other's schedule. Like, we have our expectations being placed at the right place, I think. At least from my perspective, you guys can tell me yours. I don't expect us to constantly be scheduling like a meetup, but we do, or I do, expect our presence when we could be together.
And now we establish a mechanism that if you really urgently need a call, we will just pop a message saying that right now I need a 5 minutes call or whatever. And we do have a shared calendar. That really helps a lot. And whenever there is someone that needs our attention, we will move that priority to the top of that day's list. Yeah, I quite like that.
It's a foundation of trust and understanding and security and patience and forgiveness. So many things.
Mm. And adding on to Rita's point, right? Like, the mechanism, it's the system that we build. And it reminds me of the episode of building a support system, or whether you have your support system in place. And we talked about observing what the other person needs and give it within your capability, or you tweak it, you personalize it, and then you output. It's like coding, right? So that is kind of like what I learned from you guys. So for example, I know that Mel is more independent. Like, she likes to do wholesome things together, but when in times of crisis, so she prefers to like handle it alone. Rita too, like, she likes to be left alone, but then she would like to talk about it after. So it's like these kind of habits that I kind of learned, and then I know when to give or plan energy or time around it. So for example, for Mel, I would always prioritize scheduling a time to meet, no matter how busy we are, if we're in the same city, because Mel is more a present person. But then when Rita is like really far away now in Australia, then I prioritize like impromptu calls, just a little quick catch up. It's to make up a customized plan for each friend of yours and to tweak it in your own way. That's how I judge like how much time or energy to allocate to you guys.
That is why I said our communication styles and our understanding actually evolved along our trajectories in life, because we're on and off together in the same cities. Then we're apart again and we're joining together again. And now I want to kind of compare our communication styles and how we get along together back in time when Melody was in London.
If we were to look back, I think we should look back to all the way to when I first moved to the UK at the age of 13.
Yeah.
Because we were so young then, we didn't really know what a healthy friendship was. I think our foundation now is built from a lot of ups and downs or miscommunications and someone voicing up or someone feeling frustrated. I think we've learned. Yeah. We've done a lot of work behind this solid friendship. I don't want people to think that it comes naturally or easily for us. It's not. I remember, was it Viv saying that, like, I don't really put enough effort in this or something? I remember as a kid, like, you know, we've gone through things like that.
Definitely, I agree with what Mel's mentioned. It doesn't come easy. And it's not just as a group. We have to develop mechanism or mutually contribute to the communication style that fits for all of us. It's also our own shadow work that we have to do. For example, I'm always the people pleaser. I'm always the overthinker. And if I have to put that pressure on two of you to reassure me, you're not going to last long. How can you reassure me throughout 15 years? So this is the work that I have to do and not the duty of you guys. So that is also something that we have to distinguish. A friendship couldn't give you all.
Yeah. And also I think for that insecurity of yours, yes, it is not our duty to fix it, but it's our duty as a friend to support your growth. I think that is something that I took more time to learn, is to let you guys make mistakes. So I think I mentioned this before, but you know, when Mel was really young, I think 16 or something, she took on a really bad job and then she had to basically spend money for the job. And then she would work until like 5 a.m. Oh, and then yeah. She would be on call. Like from the third party, I know that it's a wrong decision, but then she thought that it's very valuable for like network and relationship building, which is true. But in the expense of her health and also all her relationships. So I think I felt the urgency to
point that
make
out.
Her understand that it's so bad that you need to quit immediately. You know, something that I think it's so bad for her that how can she not see it? And it put on so much pressure on our friendship that I didn't understand to just give her time, just to give her the experience that she wanted. And if it doesn't work out, then she will know that she tried and she'll be okay to move forward. But I was forcing a lot of my point of view on her. Yeah, that was really tough for me.
So back in time, we're too young to understand how to maintain a friendship or how to prioritize our time, maybe to make each other feel loved or even speak the same love language. At this point of time, I am in Australia, so I'm physically away from Vivian and Melody. I'm going to have a list of check-in questions with you girls and see how the distance is affecting or improving our relationship.
Ooh. So,
yes. So the audience can also make note of these questions and check in with your bestie and friends proactively before anything that might happen or conflict or disagreement. All right. So the first one is, what did I do last month that made you feel loved and appreciated?
I think Rita is just always like, whenever I need a call, like when I call her, she would just be the first one to pick up. And I think the other day when I missed something with UE, I think I missed like a deadline or something. And then she didn't even tell me that she was at dinner, but then she just already gave me a vibe that I'm here to vent if you want to. And I think that's just like a very sense of easiness that I can just go straight into the point instead of, you know, some friends you would have a lot of more like shallow conversations and then maybe there'll be an opportunity to go deeper. For us, we can just go deep straight away. Like if there's anything I need to vent with a lot of emotional struggles that require some people who understand those terms or those feelings, like Rita is more than capable of supporting me on that.
It's really nice to hear, you know, this kind of check-in session that the audience could do as well, or we can like regularly do, is just to listen to it and you feel acknowledged. And that kind of acknowledgement makes you feel loved, even as a giver or as a receiver. So I do see the beauty of this kind of check-in session. What about Viv? How can I be a better friend to you?
I don't think I need more from you because I do believe that we are already giving our all to this friendship right now. So maybe sometimes when I go to Rita for emotional support, she would go to that problem solving mode like immediately.
Yeah.
And then she would say something that might not be appropriate or sensitive at that time. I would feel a little bit startled. Like what Mel said, like she is always the person that's the first to reply to your text messages. Unless it's like 9 p.m. and grandma's already asleep. I think it's that reliability and it is sense of safety. I can always count on her no matter it's emotional support or sometimes I really need advice or she's my dictionary sometimes. Like if I need to find a really difficult vocabulary, I go to her.
I do agree. Being available for you two and my family are always my focus, I guess, because I just want you to know that I'm really one call away and I really meant it. So, yeah, what about Melody? I really want you to answer this question too. How can I be a better friend to you?
See, she's like problem solving mode again. Like, let's be better.
Exactly. I need to know the gap and I can find strategies and we'll hit that.
You know, mm-hmm. I think, to be very honest, I'm very happy with where we are now. Like, I'm really happy with it. I personally think that you shouldn't have a certain expectation set on any relationship. We should be working on this journey together. So whenever we experience something that we want each other to work on, we should voice that up and then work on it. Instead of saying, okay, this is not what you're doing well. You should do this. You should do that. Like, I don't really have that. But instead, I'm very grateful that we have the growth mindset together.
I think I observed something here is that if I think that you can do better, you would have already known because we would have already voiced up. So I think that is something that it might be hard for a lot of people, especially in the beginning of a relationship, either it's friendship or professional relationship. When you spot something, it does take time to create that sense of safety between you and that person. And then you would be comfortable voicing up. I think that really takes a lot of time.
Yeah. And sometimes this check-in session comes in handy when, you know, you could bring up something that you struggle to find the right timing to raise.
That is true. Because, you know, my previous relationship, I wanted to schedule in like a check-in with him regularly. And he was not a fan of the idea. Like, he thinks it's very weird. But for me, it's so normal to check in with each other. How are you feeling? And I just got dismissed. Like, A, it's great because now I know that he's not compatible. But B is like a lot of people are not comfortable with these questions.
Yeah, that is why I said I'm really grateful that our growth in this aspect are simultaneous. Because if we are having different mindset in this or different growth in this aspect, we're going to speak in different language and we wouldn't be understanding each other anymore. This is very important because that's really why people are driven apart, because their needs and wants are very different. So the next question comes in, which says, what are your main stresses right now and how can I help? I guess for me, I could see that lack of human interaction is one of the stresses that I often encounter right now. And that is why we established this monthly check-in, because sometimes I do feel a strong sense of FOMO, whatever that is happening in Hong Kong, I feel a bit irrelevant. And doing this monthly check-in make me feel a bit more relevant to you girls.
I guess the strength of this friendship is that we are very emotionally understanding. And we're very much emotionally available for each other. So I think instead of saying what you can do to help with my situation, you guys would always be my number one go-to when it comes to any emotional struggles that I couldn't face on my own. Because I think, for example, Rita, you're a very good listener. And Viv would sometimes throw in some challenges being like, hey, you're feeling this, but do you deserve or do you need to be felt that way? Like, you know, it's like having you two as different perspectives and being able to inspire me to reflect from a different perspective is very useful.
Yeah, I think perspective is a huge one for Mel. But for me, I think what Rita has always been doing is reassuring me that I have the ability, because one of my biggest weaknesses is my self-doubt, my not believing in myself, not trusting the process. And the secondary problem is I'm a very impatient person. I worry a lot. And then I drag myself down. And I think after we started UE, I personally grew a lot. But I think beforehand, I depended a lot on you guys. Like, you guys would be like, why are you not believing in yourself? Like, what's the problem here? And I would really think, where do these negative beliefs come from? And now I'm going through another big change in my life. So if I really have to give an answer, it would be reassure me, like reassure that I will be okay.
I think that kind of answers my next question as well, which is on how do you like to be comforted when you're sad? I think this will be a really great check-in question if the audience hasn't known that already. But the last question would be a pretty relevant one as well, which says, is there anything else you want to talk about that you observed and bugged you but didn't find a good time to bring it up?
I do think that in reality, if two friendships that is not as solid as ours. I mean, in terms of foundation, like the communication style, I'm not saying that we're better than everyone else. But it's just that, like, when you ask these kind of questions, we don't have an answer because we talked about this already. But yeah. I think in reality, maybe like for some other friendships that I have, if I do ask them these kind of questions, we would talk for hours.
Like, I guess so. Yeah.
I remember before we got so healthy on confrontation, we had a conversation that sometimes one of us could be quite dismissive or very defensive when people give you critical feedback. And I think it is like, you do need to have that conversation. But before we have that conversation, you need to know that the friendship or the other person would give you the capacity and the understanding and the openness to accept what's coming. And I'm sure we spent hours on that as well. It's encouraging people to have that conversation in the first place,
regardless of how uncomfortable it gets initially.
Yeah, it could get uncomfortable. I remember, like, especially growing up as a kid, right? You never used to be criticized. You might see that as people judging you or saying that you're wrong. It takes time to even learn internally and from within that you're not always right, right? The reason why people tell you these things is because they care about you, is because they want you to improve. So I think understanding and having that mindset in place would help you to become more accepting and open-minded. I would suggest if our audience ever come across a friendship or a relationship where when you're trying to have this conversation and after the receiver reflecting on it or even on the spot, knowing that they don't vibe the same way or they just don't have any interest in taking your opinion, then maybe you should consider whether that's the right friendship or relationship for you.
Great.
Melody has given a great final touch on this topic. Communication is an important aspect in most relationships, including friendships. So asking open-ended questions and leaving room for listening, storytelling, and answering questions in return fosters healthier and stronger relationship. And do not cease learning about each other, because you'll be surprised how much you can learn about that person. So do give this friendship check-in a go and see how that goes. That's all for today's episode of The Arts of Checking In. This wraps up our Season 5, Exploring Our Emotional Triggers.
Join us again next time in the upcoming Season 6, Mental Health Stories, When Sharing Really is Caring. We will have different valuable guests on The Unlabeling Effect to share their stories on mental wellness and tips to be more self-aware and emotional literate. Please stay tuned.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.